Today is a big day in baseball because it's the day that qualifying offer decisions must be made. A lot of players have already made these determinations as to whether to accept or reject the qualifying offer. 14 players received a qualifying offer this year. And why it's significant to the Giants is because Brandon Belt is among those 14 players, and his determination has not yet been made, at least not publicly. So that deadline is today at 2 p.m. You may be even listening to the show after that decision has been made. So we'll talk about what it means, what the different possible scenarios are, and also how about Gabe Kapler winning Manager of the Year yesterday in a near unanimous vote. So we'll get into all of that next on today's Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms, now including YouTube as well, so check us out there. And coming up on today's show, as I said, I want to get into just the fact that today is the deadline for qualifying offer decisions. Coming up tomorrow, we'll definitely be talking about what the outcome is here for the San Francisco Giants. There are a number of different possibilities as it relates to Brandon Belt. So Brandon Belt was given the qualifying offer by the Giants. And the way it works is that when players receive the qualifying offer, they have 10 days to either accept it or reject it. There's a lot of confusion out there about what this means, what it is, what it isn't. So I'm going to attempt to explain it again here in the simplest way I can. And that is, okay, so the number itself, the dollar amount, which is $18.4 million this year, that is determined by averaging the top 125 paid players in the league in a given year. And that number this year came out to $18.4 million. And last year it was 18.9, and so it actually went down, which is, I'm not sure if that's ever happened before. I think it may have happened at least one other time, but it usually goes up, but this year it went down. And anyway, it's a one-year offer, and you can make it, you can give it to your own players under two conditions. Number one, they cannot have received it in the past. Number two, they had to have spent the entire year with your team. And so, for example, Chris Bryant would have been eligible except for that he was traded mid-season. If he had stayed with the Cubs would have been able to put it on him. But because he was traded, the Giants couldn't put the qualifying offer on him. So anyway, Brandon Belt, of course, was with the Giants all year, and he's never received one in the past. So that made him eligible. The Giants gave it to him. So the way it works, I think one of the sources of confusion is about, like, there's not only the possibility that Belt would accept it or reject it, and like a rejection doesn't mean he's going elsewhere. It simply means he would be rejecting a one-year $18.4 million offer. Now, presumably with any other free agent, maybe you make an offer similar to this number and they can reject it, and then you can go back to the negotiating table and work something else out. This is really no different, but there are consequences to rejecting the qualifying offer for a free agent. So if Belt rejects it, if any other player who received it rejects it, then if they end up signing with another team, that team has to surrender a draft pick. And it varies depending on the financial status of the team. But for the Giants, if they sign a guy who received and rejected the qualifying offer, say Chris Taylor, the Giants would have to surrender their second highest draft pick in the 2022 draft. And I'm not saying that that's too big of a cost to pay. I'm just pointing out the facts about the qualifying offer. So it hurts the value of players who received the qualifying offer because teams not only have to pay you cold hard cash, they also have to surrender a draft pick. So it's an added cost to the signing team, even though for the player, like the player doesn't see any of that cost. And so it's kind of a thing that hurts players' free agencies, which is one reason why guys may be inclined to accept it. Brandon Belt, as an example, some other team is going to be less inclined to sign him because he received it in the first place. And it also makes the player more likely to sign with the original team because the Giants wouldn't have to give up a draft pick to themselves. You know, there's no penalty for signing your own player who received and rejected the qualifying offer. So I hope that makes sense. But what you should know is that today is the deadline. And what do I expect? I think that's kind of where I want to go next. What is my expectation? A lot of you are probably listening to this after this determination has been made. So coming up next, I'm going to talk about what I expect Brandon Belt to do, what I expect the Giants to do. You know, if he accepts it, then that's it. But what if he doesn't? What does that mean for the Giants? I also want to talk about the free agent landscape. Starting pitchers are kind of flying off the board right now, and the Giants are definitely heavy in the starting pitcher market. And so we're going to talk about what that means. And then also, of course, Gabe Kapler, almost unanimously winning manager of the year. But first, I want you to know I love Thanksgiving. And one of the things I love about it is all the delicious food. I mean, that's the number one thing. But for me, what's kind of a bummer is that I love the smell and the taste of these sweets, but I tend to not to like to eat too much sugar, and so it always leaves me wanting these delicious desserts. Enter Built Bar that's able to replace that coconut pie, replace that raspberry pie, and yet come in with just like 4 to 5 grams of sugar. So who knows how much sugar is in those pies, and that's why I tend to stay away. But there's no guilt in eating a delicious-tasting Built Bar. All bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they taste like candy bars, but come in with a healthy profile. It's the perfect food for the holiday season. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, as promised, we're going to talk about the qualifying offer a little bit more. What do I expect from Brandon Belt? Well, just to get right to it, my expectation, it's tough. I mean, maybe not to get right to it. It's tough. It's kind of a borderline case. There's a case to be made for him accepting it. There's a case to be made for him rejecting it. And I lean towards Brandon Belt rejecting the qualifying offer simply because I believe there's strong enough interest from the Giants and from other teams on a multi-year deal. And a multi-year deal for, I don't know, I mean, Brandon Crawford in the middle of the 2021 season got a $32 million extension over 2 years. And so say Belt thinks he's roughly worth that same amount, then I think it would be worth rejecting the qualifying offer. If you can get 2 years, $32 million, why would you accept 1 year, $18.4 million, which is, you know, roughly half of that? And anytime you add years, you're always going to subtract from the average cost per year. And so 2 years, $32 million is better, in my opinion, than 1 year, $18.4 million. And so the question is, from Belt's side, does he think that he can get that much? And part of the beauty of the qualifying offer for some free agents, or for all of them potentially, is during this period, Belt is allowed to be in communication with other teams. And so he can get a feel for the first time in his career of what the rest of the league, of how the rest of the league values him. This is the first time Brandon Belt has been a free agent. So it behooves him to have spent these 10 days communicating with other teams to get a sense of his market. And I'm sure that he's done that. And I just think, given the last 2 seasons that Brandon Belt had, yes, he was ravaged by injuries, but he was elite offensively. We've talked about this a number of times, but he was the third best hitter by weighted runs created plus in all of baseball the last 2 years combined. And so you have to set the minimum to like 500 plate appearances, even 550 plate appearances. Belt is number three behind Mike Trout and Bryce Harper and ahead of Ronald Acuna Jr. and Fernando Tatis Jr. So it's quite a list that Belt finds himself right in the middle of. And so given that, I mean, I just think he can do better than a one-year deal. Some team out there is probably going to be willing to give him 2 or 3 years, including, to me, the Giants. And so that's why I think that he would reject the deal. Now, the one thing is health. And so the case to be made that he would accept the qualifying offer is simply a matter of health. And the idea being that he could accept the offer, the one-year offer, and with the goal of having a fully healthy 2022 season and presumably being really good offensively again. This is from Belt's perspective, like what he would imagine he could do as a justification for rejecting the qualifying offer, and then re-enter the free agent market next year, coming off a monster healthy season and then potentially earning much more. That's why you would reject the qualifying offer. Well, yeah. No, that's why you would accept the qualifying offer. Excuse me. I think I said that wrong a couple times there. But the reason I don't think that that makes sense is because, A, I mean, he's never fully healthy. And so I think, you know, there's some downside to that as the Giants if you're trying to sign him. But that's just the reality. Don't expect 150 games necessarily. Maybe expect 120 games from Brandon Belt and elite offensive production and good first base defense. And he's worth a commitment. I mean, that it still makes him a very good player. And the other thing is that he's already 33 and a half. He'll turn 34 in April. So I just don't know that he wants to go re-enter the market and put himself out there going into his age 35 season, because at that point, he might only be in line for a 1 or 2 year deal anyway. So why not just take the 2 or 3 year deal now and consider it his last hurrah? Like, to me, this might be the last, if he rejects the qualifying offer, the last significant contract that Brandon Belt gets. And so, I don't know. That's my inclination. I could see it both ways, but I do just think if I had to make a prediction, I would say he rejects the qualifying offer and ends up signing a 2 year deal, maybe with a 3rd year club option with the Giants. That's kind of my guess as I'll throw it out. But it could be like Will Smith a couple years ago, where the Giants gave him the qualifying offer. And at the last minute, right when he was due to make a decision about the qualifying offer, we learned that he had signed a deal with the Atlanta Braves. And he leveraged the qualifying offer, telling other teams, including the Braves, I'm going to accept the qualifying offer unless I get a better deal by the deadline. And so I'm not sure Belt is going to be that firm about it, but no doubt he's talking to other teams right now. So it's definitely possible that he could just be gone and some other team could just say, we've signed Brandon Belt and that's it. And he would have leveraged today's deadline. So anyway, we will be back tomorrow to talk about that. So I'm also going to probably do an emergency reaction, emergency podcast on my personal YouTube account. So you can check that out in the description below. As soon as we hear word on Brandon Belt, I'll put out a quick reaction there. And then tomorrow we'll have more of a full episode breaking it down in more detail. But for now, I want to shift our attention to the other couple of points I wanted to make today. Number one, the free agent starting pitcher market is moving a little bit. So I want to talk about who those players who have signed are, what those deals have been like, and what it means for the Giants. And also I want to talk about Gabe Kapler winning Manager of the Year yesterday. So talking about the starting pitcher market, Noah Syndergaard signed yesterday with the Angels on a one-year deal for $21 million. He had received the qualifying offer. So again, I think he leveraged that deadline as a way to get other offers from teams, and he got one for $21 million for 1 year. So only slightly more than the qualifying offer, but still more. So it makes sense for him to have signed that deal. Now, he's coming off just two innings pitched since the 2019 season, and in 2019, he struggled. And so this is, to me, telling of something, because the fact that he was able to get $21 million coming off two completely lost seasons, and then a season before that, struggling, bodes well for some of these starting pitchers like Justin Verlander, like Carlos Rodon, who have some injury risk. Justin Verlander also has barely pitched the last couple of years. He missed all of 2021 and only threw a few innings in 2020. And I like Verlander more than Noah Syndergaard as a target. And so it just tells us something about the market. So coming up next, we'll continue to break down what this means and also talk about the other pitchers that have signed. We've already seen three significant starting pitchers, including Syndergaard, go off the board. So I'll talk about what the general trend is there. So stay tuned for that. But first, we're back in better than ever, a new web interface for the start of the basketball season, and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, welcome back. As I said, we're going to talk about the remaining, or just the starting pitcher market and how it's moving. Speaking of BetOnline, though, Gabe Kapler winning manager of the year. I just have to say, we talked before the season. I dug up the tweet and I flexed on it yesterday. Before the season, it was like March 30th. I told people to bet maybe on, I'm never going to make that official declaration, but I said it was a good bet potentially to bet on Gabe Kapler winning manager of the year. And sure enough, it came to fruition. It was a plus 1400 bet. So you could have made a lot of money at BetOnline. So we'll continue to provide insight as I see it about the Giants and baseball in general. But yeah, I mean, I hope if one person took that bet and listened to me and made that bet, then that's awesome. But anyway, really cool. And we'll get into Kapler in a minute. But just regarding the starting pitcher market, as I said, Noah Syndergaard signs for 1 year, $21 million. The other two deals that have happened of note, Eduardo Rodriguez, one of the top starting pitchers available this offseason, signs with the Tigers for 5 years and $77 million guaranteed. That's an average of $15.4 million per season. As you know, as some of you know, I have averaged MLB Trade Rumors, ESPN, and Fangraphs predictions for contracts for all of the top 50 free agents, according to each source. I've looked at what were the predictions by each source, and then I took the average, how many years, what's the average annual value, and what's the total. And so far, the trend is that we're up about 10% in terms of actual years versus predicted years. We're up about 10% from actual average annual value versus predicted average annual value. And we're up about 10% from actual total money guaranteed to predicted money guaranteed. So far, I don't know if it's just because early on there was the highest amount of competition for these players, and that as time goes on, we'll see these numbers come back down. But just to give you actual figures here, so far, 7 years have been committed to three players, and predicted was 6.33. And so far, $106.5 million has been committed, and predicted was 97.58. So an average annual value, 13.97 was predicted, and 14.97 has been given out. So 1 million over that prediction in terms of average annual value. So what I'm trying to say is that the market has been over prediction, meaning it's a little bit of a free agent. The players have the edge here. It's a player's market is what I'm trying to say right now. And the Giants are going to have to get in on this market at some point. And starting pitching, I mean, okay, so I count a remaining 19 players who are on at least one of these sources' top 50 lists. And so there's a lot of good players remaining. A couple of them did receive the qualifying offer. Justin Verlander and Robbie Ray remaining who received the qualifying offer among starting pitchers. Now, there's no way Robbie Ray accepts it. There's a chance Justin Verlander accepts it. So we'll know in a few hours whether or not Verlander will still be on the market. But anyway, it's still plenty of guys, 19 players remaining, but I just wanted to point out that the market, and specifically like if you're looking at Noah Syndergaard, the market for these kind of high upside injury risk pitchers like Justin Verlander, like maybe Max Scherzer, who ended the year with a little bit of an injury issue or dead arm actually, and also Carlos Rodon, who very surprisingly did not receive the qualifying offer, the market was good for Noah Syndergaard. And anyway, we'll talk about that more, but I don't know exactly what it means for the Giants, but it does mean maybe Verlander and Rodon may go for the upper end of what their value might be, and that might make the Giants less inclined to pursue them. We'll see. But anyway, Gabe Kapler wins Manager of the Year yesterday. It was a near unanimous vote. There was, I believe, one voter who didn't even have Kapler listed among their top three, which doesn't make any sense to me, especially we're talking about there's an NL Manager of the Year and an AL Manager of the Year. So I don't want to be one of those people who focuses on like the one weird ballot, but I just don't understand how you don't even have him in the top three. That makes no sense at all, given that the expectations for the Giants going into the year were 500-ish at best, and they win the most games they've ever won in franchise history. How on earth do you not have him as a top? If ever there was a Manager of the Year, it's Gabe Kapler. And then somebody else had him like third or second and not first, which also just kind of blew my mind. But anyway, it was a runaway. He won in a landslide. So congratulations to Kapler. We talked about him yesterday when we talked about the extension he just recently signed and just what a great season it was, how he's overcome adversity. When he was hired, he was not popular here. He got run out of town in Philadelphia. He's had to endure a lot publicly, and I can't imagine having to deal with that. And he's done it with kind of grace and patience and positivity. He's never really gotten angry or defensive or anything. He's just said, I'm going to prove to you that I'm the right person for the job and that I belong here. And he's done that. So congratulations to Gabe Kapler. Very well earned. Kevin Cash in the American League wins in back-to-back years. And so hopefully in 2022, Kapler can also win back-to-back years. By the way, Kapler, just the second manager in Giants history to win the award. Bruce Bochy never won it. It was Dusty Baker who won it, I think, three times as the only other manager in Giants history. So incredible season. This was a slam dunk for the last several months of the year, just how great, given how great the Giants were this year. So everything coming his way is very well deserved at this point. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow talking about these qualifying offer decisions specifically pertaining to Brandon Belt. And look out again for that emergency podcast reaction on my personal account, which you can find linked down below. Anyway, once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, telling your friends and family to check us out. So thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. You are now Locked On Giants.